goes.
Holy crap, Janet.
Janet Protasiewicz for Supreme Court.
Damn it, Janet, I love you.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Are we in the last chapter of Wisconsin's Democracy Desert era? 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. Are we finally at the maybe the beginning of the last chapter of our Democracy Desert era? As of this morning, I feel like yes, because I am unapologetically excited that Wisconsin elected Janet Protasiewicz last night. Jane Matinere, are we in the last chapter of Wisconsin's Democracy Desert era?
We got a ways to go, but it's a start. It's a really good start.
Greg Bach, are we at the end of our Democracy Desert era?
Depending your fandom of trilogy, we're either at the beginning of Return of the Jedi or the beginning of Rise of Skywalker.
Joseph Ecke, what say you?
The thing about the story of America, Kristen, is it never ends.
Wow, that was diplomatic.
Profound.
All right. Well, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, post-election edition. There is so much to talk about. Lots to feel excited about, still some open questions, and also things to look forward to as far as what's next. Because as Joe just said, America, what did you just say? America's a never-ending story.
The never-ending story. That's right.
But we would love to hear from you this morning. We're going to have a lot of fun this hour talking about the referendums, the mayor's races, Janet's win, Dan Kelly's speech. But how are you feeling? We would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. Is there a new hope? Let's just keep the Star Wars and...
I was going to go to Game of Thrones. The work continues.
But who says that?
That's the Tyrion. Maester when he's working on the mountain. And he's reanimating him. The work continues.
The work continues.
All right. It's not as disappointing in the end.
So let's just back up for a minute and recap what happened. So it seemed like during the day, there was a lot of turnout. Eau Claire had videos going around about how many people were there. I saw tons of people talking about what number they were and compared to when they were in the primary. And so we got to, Jane and I signed off of our coverage from 7 to 8 p.m. And I immediately took my place in front of my TV to watch results come in and refresh Twitter.
I was going
to
say, how old school of you to watch it
again
on TV?
Again. Well, no, it's more ADHD in that I just need multiple forms of media in front of my eyeballs at all times.
I was checking the ticker tape.
And pretty quickly,
yeah,
it became very apparent that this was not going to be a close race.
I believe the Associated Press made the call at 8:38 p.m.
Was it that early?
I jumped the gun at 8:30. I went back through my texts. I started telling loved ones who were watching from afar at 8:30. It was over.
I believe it was 8. I'm sorry to, I don't mean to be that guy, but it was 8:53, I believe.
Oh, that I would buy that. Then I called it 23 minutes early based on an advanced statistical analysis that I do in my head.
It's called a good feeling.
Go ahead, Jane.
It is remarkable how quickly he went down. It just was stunning.
I mean, well, one of the things is we have so many elections here. Right? Yes. We do this all the time. Is that once you start to see benchmarks, you know, in every part of the state, and you see a candidate running way ahead of them or way behind them, and then you see that like four or five of those benchmarks, they're all breaking the same way. That's how public opinion works, and you just know. And you want, you know, so the Associated Press and these other outlets that call it, they need to make sure that those assumptions are correct, and so they wait until more vote is in. But it was very clear very early that this was going to be a big win.
So unless I missed it, there was never any public opinion polling that went out as far as, like, Marquette Law School didn't release it, and we all had a conversation about it because that's what we do when we're in the media. It's like, oh, let's talk about the polling numbers. There was plenty of internal polling that I would get wind of between my friends and other people I know. She's up a couple points. It's getting closer. Did any of the internal polling that you heard, Joe, have her this far ahead?
I think there was one poll I heard about that may have had her up 9, but that was a couple weeks ago.
And so it's weird because I kept trying to check my, I don't know the right word, but it's like in my echo chamber, in the stuff that I put out into the world, especially on social media, and the amount of people who seemed engaged and fired up to vote. And there's no science behind it whatsoever. But I was like, there was a part of me that was like, I think she's going to handily beat this guy because I just did not see the enthusiasm from conservatives. Granted, I don't roll in conservative circles. So I was like, I don't know if I'm just missing something, but people who are not necessarily always that engaged seem very fired up.
Well, listen, there's lots of reasons to bemoan all of the spending in these races. It's been talked about ad nauseum, most expensive judicial race in American history. The upside of all that spending and all those TV ads is more people are reminded that there's an election. And spring elections are not, you know, top of mind necessarily all of the time for people. So, you know, you can want to, you know, be done with the TV ads, and we are.
For now.
But all that spending meant we got record high turnout. 1.8 million Wisconsinites voted. Yep. That's awesome. Like, that is a level of civic engagement the people of Wisconsin should be very proud of.
That's amazing.
It was 1.8?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's more than in the 2020 presidential primary.
Wow.
Now, that Biden-Sanders fight was mostly over, but, you know, in presidential elections, more people vote, full stop. But this was easily a record in a court race.
And so I want to get to turnout, and I want to get to, like you said, I think there is a conversation to be had as far as much as we bemoan this kind of spending, is there something to be said about it? But Jane, what do you want?
844-967-2789 if you want to check in with your reactions to last night's election. Dave from the Shaw, while I appreciate your enthusiasm, I'm a little more cynical about democracy in the USA. Freedom is in action. We have to continually work for our rights. The next vote will be the most important one, and the one after that will be crucial, etc. Having said all that, I am currently drinking to celebrate Judge Janet winning the city of Waukesha outright. Cheers.
They beat me to it. I was going to do the big announce. The city of Waukesha, Protosewa's got 50.1%.
I know.
As a Wisconsin-born native kid, that makes
Waukesha me native-born
I'm
kid.
Sorry, I'm sorry. Waukesha native-born kid. This is my neighborhood. It makes me so proud. I was so happy to see that.
Another text from the 414. Despite the craziness and open animosity, Wisconsin votes rationally in statewide elections. City of Franklin threw out a mayor. Bowen lost by 17 votes. Wisconsin Senate 28 broke my heart. Dems need to get a rep to cross over to avoid veto override. You can check in 844-967-2789.
So let's address that really quickly, because I think there's confusion on Dan Knodel's win. And they have called it, right?
Yes.
And 700.
And conceded this morning.
Okay, so just
very gracefully, unlike some other people we'll talk about.
Which will also, there's so many things. I feel like the web of which direction do we want to go, because there's a lot to talk about. But let's just talk about it right now, because I think there is some cynicism around, all right, well, we won the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and Dan Knodel won the Senate District 8 to replace Senator Alberta Darling. It was a very close race, despite the fact that that is a pretty Republican and drawn to be pretty Republican. So now the Senate has a supermajority. The Assembly still does not, which to have a veto-proof supermajority, both houses would need to have a supermajority.
Correct. So that's if Governor Evers says no, then it can go back to the legislature. Two-thirds of each house would have to vote to override it. That is not going to happen because of what the margin in the Assembly.
So, Joe, explain what powers they do have and whether or not that is, how much of a threat that actually is.
So impeachment is set up in constitutions. So federally, right, we saw this twice during the Trump era, so we know it, but just as a refresher, the House impeaches with a majority and the Senate has to convict with two-thirds. In the state of Wisconsin, the state Senate starts the impeachment proceeding, needs to be two-thirds vote to impeach a office holder. Then it goes to the Assembly, our House, our lower legislative body, and a mere majority can then approve the impeachment. So by the numbers, impeachment will be on the table. I personally am cautiously optimistic that Republicans will not choose that nuclear option, if for no other reason than Governor Evers would then be able to appoint a replacement for whoever was removed from office using those means.
And that's kind of where I was falling on this as well, as much as there's been this looming threat, and especially had in the fall the assembly also gotten a supermajority, but the actual following through on let's impeach democratically elected people, but it just gets replaced by someone else that Tony Evers wants. Like, what is the end game of doing that besides having this like veiled threat?
The end game would be that they could really gum up the works of government, right? They could say, we're going to do the state budget and we're not going to do anything else. And to use all the legislative time up, we're going to impeach people and go through the motions and just gum up the works. But when you consider that the Republican-controlled legislature only worked 3 months last year, it's not like these folks are sitting around the state capitol wondering what they're going to do with their time for weeks on end. Like, I guess we could impeach somebody this week. There's just not a lot of process to gum up. So I don't think we're going down that
path. I wouldn't hold it past them to be like, what am I doing today? I will impeach.
With their monocle and big cigar.
I like impeaching.
All right, well, let's shift gears when we come back from the break as far as what this does mean for bigger strategy. Not that any of us are GOP operatives, but as far as, you know, in 2017, the Republican Party had a very different outlook on Wisconsin that has just been upended. So what does that mean for, do they continue to double down on culture war and MAGA-ness, or do they take this finally as a wake-up call that people want more moderation and a little bit more sanity? So we will talk about that when we come back. Our guest today is Joe Zepecki, Greg Bach, Jane Mantenere is on the board, and I am Kristen Bry. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. If you feel like a room without a roof, 'cause I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth, 'cause I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is you. Hey, clap along if you feel.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
That really express my gratitude and pride that I have for all the components that made up this campaign, and the hope that I have for the future of Wisconsin. It is the absolute honor of a lifetime to be elected as your next justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
So Wisconsin, you gotta love that accent. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Jane Mantenere is on the board, and our guest, Democratic strategist Joe Zepecki, is here all hour to talk about the election. Of course, it's Wednesday. So it's Greg Bach Hump Day Wednesday, as always. And we're so fired up. There's so much to talk about as far as the Wisconsin Supreme Court election last night, but also all of the other races that happened last night. But let's shift gears a little bit to what this means for Republicans. And Jane, you said someone had a quick thought about Dan Kelly.
Yeah. From the 715 Stevens Point, I was disgusted by Kelly's speech last night. He trashed Judge Janet instead of offering congratulations on her win. What a sorry loser.
I know we don't necessarily need to hear it again, but should we play a little piece of it in case some people missed the words that Dan Kelly chose to use last night in his, we'll use this word loosely, concession speech?
Take a listen.
Now, this didn't turn out the way that we were looking for. And I think there are a couple of reasons for it, and I think we need to address them head on. And it brings me no joy to say this. I wish that in a circumstance like this, I would be able to concede to a worthy opponent. But I do not have a worthy opponent to which I can concede.
True that.
True that.
This was the most deeply deceitful, dishonorable, despicable campaign I have ever seen run for the courts.
Listen, this is so beside the point, but I keep bumping on the fact that he didn't say to whom I can concede.
Sachin Chetta put that on Twitter today. He said the same thing. I'm like, yeah, it burns in your mind.
You know what really stands out to me, though, is the utter lack of grace and the utter lack of self-awareness. He got smoked. He got smoked. And this is your response?
What I've said many times, including maybe on this air, is in politics and in all things, when you win, you should do so with class. When you lose, you should do so with grace. Mm-hmm. Or as I tell, you know, I do some coaching high school football. When you get to the end zone, act like you've been there before. Like, we don't need to, like, showboat, and we don't need to lose with indignity, which is what we saw from Mr. Kelly last night.
Well, it's funny because this has been a week that a lot of the national conversation has been about sportsmanship regarding the women's NCAA tournament championship game. And we're not going to...
Are you going to call me a pearl clutcher if I say neither one of them should have done it?
Totally. But that, and I'm not. We're not going down that rabbit hole. But I just think it's interesting in the conversation we've been having about 20-year-old women in college, and then this is the demonstration we have from a former Supreme Court justice. And I watched that video, and I feel like you could feel him shaking with how angry he was and how much of a true believer he is in all of his... in his real pursuit of what he thinks is the best version of Wisconsin, because that's how he ends it, is basically saying, I'm scared for Wisconsin.
Yeah, he says,
good luck.
Good luck, Wisconsin. I think you're going to need it.
Yep. If he would have stopped that speech at 3:49 and said, thank you very much, that would have been this. That would have been amazing, because for the first 3 minutes and 49 seconds, it was smooth sailing. Congrats. Thank yous. What really felt like actual... support for the people who were with him. And then it's at 3:50, he's like, I'm going to take this in a dark place now. Here we go, folks. Strap
buckle
it.
Up.
True dat.
And true dat.
And Joe, I heard you earlier this morning talking to our friend Steve Scafidi with Bill McGoshin, who we had just had on a couple of weeks ago. And he said he would like to see Kelly walk those comments back because he's a better man than that. Isn't that speech an encapsulation of what kind of man this person is?
No, I do not think that that's true. Listen, I've been with a lot of candidates on election nights, and it is really hard if you have not been a candidate or been next to a candidate on election night to understand just how emotional it is. I mean, you are a ball of energy, good, bad, otherwise. I've had candidates, you know, who have lost, kept it together, been stoic, gone and given the speech, and then like collapsed in a puddle of tears, falling into the arms of their loved ones. So this is not who Dan Kelly is. I don't know him well or anything, but I imagine this was a low moment for him. His emotions got the better of him. He has an opportunity to be more gracious. Like Bill McCoshin, I would urge him to do that. None of us should be defined by our worst moments. That's got to be up there for him, I would guess.
It's a very gracious answer, yeah. Joe Zepecki.
I try to live my values.
But I will say, is this the last we've seen of Dan Kelly now?
Probably.
He's now been beat like a drum twice.
Yeah.
And I think the people of Wisconsin have made it very clear, we do not want you.
Do you mean in the election circle? Or do you mean he'll be on Newsmax as a contributor?
I don't know what he does. I mean, I don't think his career is over. I think he'll certainly, what did he say in the debate? Like, I'm a lawyer's lawyer or something along the lines of like, you know, when he was working, when he wasn't a justice, when he was working for the Republican Party. Yeah. But as far as like, I'm sure he will continue to work as a lawyer.
Yeah.
I don't know if he has media aspirations, but...
Why do we think the Republican Party of Wisconsin won't hire him back?
No, of course.
Right. I mean, like that's part of what's so hard to like wrap your head around logically is the comments he was making. It's like, buddy, you were playing hide the ball. Like, you are a Republican conservative activist and a jurist. Right. And an attorney. You can be multiple things, but let's not pretend that you're not a partisan Republican operative when you've been the lawyer for, like, there's not a lot of people hired to be lawyers by political parties. I promise you. If you get that job, like, you're a partisan.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, we only have a minute left. So now that's a good segue, though, when we come back to say, do they hire someone like him again? Does the Wisconsin GOP continue down the culture war MAGA road? Or is this a sign to change the strategy a little bit? So let us know what you think. 844-967-2789. Do you think we'll see a different game plan from the Wisconsin GOP going forward, or just more of the same? Our guests are Joe Zepecki, Greg Bach. Jane Mattenair is on a guest. She's always here. I'm always here. Kristen Bry. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Today's results mean two very important and special things.
Yes.
First, it means that Wisconsin voters have made their voices heard.
Yes. Yes.
They've chosen to reject partisan extremism in this state.
Yes.
And second, it means our democracy will always prevail. Too many have tried to overturn the will of the people. Today's results show that Wisconsinites believe in democracy and the democratic process.
Yeah.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Of course, we have Jane Mattenair. Greg Bach is here. And Joe Zepecki, also here for the first hour as we debrief and talk about last night's election. And we would love to hear from you on how you are feeling the next day, the day after. Are some of you hungover? I am not hungover. Are you hungover, Greg?
Absolutely not.
Joe, are you hungover?
No, I had a single glass of champagne, and then I was the driver last night.
Look at you. Yep. Self-control.
Somebody's got to be responsible.
Discipline. Jane, are you hungover?
I am not hungover, but I sure didn't get much sleep.
Me either.
I just couldn't sleep.
Same.
Yeah, it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, so.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was late.
So you're, but you look peppy today. You look great.
I'm just happy.
All right, so I want to go back to what this potentially means. And none of us have a crystal ball, but this now feels like, again and again, a referendum on extremism. Also, this was impossible not to say that this was also about abortion, but that goes into extremism, right? As far as the inability for Republicans, at least in Wisconsin, but also largely, of they feel like they cannot let go of their anti-abortion base and support. And that is a group, that is a side that is never going to say, that doesn't even want exceptions for rape and incest, let alone to go back to what the law was pre-Roe. So there is an extremism that they are still committed to, despite statewide election after statewide election after statewide election of saying, we don't want that. So I'll open this up to both the audience, 844-967-2789, but also you three. Not that any of us have any say in what the Republican Party does, but does this change anything?
I guess the question I would ask is, I would call Mr. Brian Schimming, because Brian Schimming made it very clear, who is the chairman of the Wisconsin GOP, made it very clear that he was going to do some revamping in the GOP. Now, his Twitter and online presence didn't seem to show that. He seemed to be going the way of the attack ads and whatnot. But one thing he did do is he kind of turned the boat for the GOP in Wisconsin on early voting. He really pushed the idea that early voting is important, which 3 months ago was demonized. So if that's like the first step for them, that could be something. Like, now that Brian's got this election under his belt, which he was thrown kind of in the middle of when he was appointed, what's next for him then? What is on his plate to maybe turn the narrative a little bit more with regard to how the GOP puts out their message to their base here in the state? That's the question I have.
Joe?
The first step in addressing a problem is acknowledging that you have a problem. And big respect to all to everybody out there who's living that dream. I am hearing Republicans from multiple corners today who recognize they have a problem. They have a problem with suburban voters. They have a problem with women voters, with college educated voters. They've got a Dane County problem. Last night they had a Bow Brown Outagamie Winnebago County problem. They had a Western Wisconsin problem. They understand.
They had a Waukesha problem.
They had a Waukesha problem. Mm-hmm. They understand that this path that they are on is not sustainable. The really hard part is, how do they extricate themselves from Trump and the Dobbs decision? Both of, like, and those are the two biggest drivers as I see them. We've seen on the Trump front, Republicans rushing to defend the former president, mm-hmm. even before they knew what was in the indictment, even despite the fact that of the four cases currently circling the former president, this is, you know, inarguably the weakest of them. But they don't care. They are still swearing their fealty. How the elected officials and candidates on the right extricate themselves from Trump is what to watch for. Asa Hutchinson, candidate for president, trying to show his party you can do that. Chris Christie trying to do that. We have not seen any Wisconsin Republicans really say enough is enough. They're getting there, right? They're saying, I'm sick of losing. We need a path forward. We need a new generation. But they're not squarely taking on Trump yet. So that one's going to be really tough. I would argue the Dobbs decision fallout is actually even tougher. Because, for example, here in Wisconsin, we should now get some clarity and an update from that 1849 law. We will probably, hopefully, but we don't know yet, in the next year or so, get to a place where it's more like a 20-week ban on abortions and exceptions. That would be a better public policy, right? Just politics aside, just a better public policy. But Republicans here in Wisconsin and nationally are going to continue to be defined by their positions on this, and not just their own. When Florida is passing a 6-week ban on abortion, you know, the Republicans doing that there, including Ron DeSantis, they are harming the brand for Republicans in 49 other states. Mm-hmm. And so they're squeezed between this rock and a hard place. And that's really, really tough. So they've got their work cut out for them.
Yeah. And
but at least they know they
have
a problem.
Do you have as you said, with the Wisconsin Republicans, none of them have started to break away yet. If you had to guess who would be the first one to start to break away, do you have any predictions there?
Maybe Congressman Gallagher, who may want the focus to be on work that he's doing, which is important.
Yeah.
Whether, right, like, you know, I was very disappointed and honestly a little surprised that Congressman Stile down in the southeast part of the state was so quick to put his name on a letter to Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, basically saying, we're going to drag you up here and read you the Riot Act. How dare you indict our dear leader? that to me was a little bit more extreme than Style should be in a district that is not, you know, like, it's a comfortable Republican seat, but it was one that Democrats have won before and could win again.
Yeah. Well, especially because that we're going to spend a lot of time in this, but the DNC has finally announced that they're going to stop flip-flopping on their support for the Derek Van Orden seat and Brian Stiles seat. They might actually, you know, in 2024,
it's really easy
show
to,
up.
It's really easy to say that now.
Yeah, exactly. Was anyone saying anything on the text line, James?
Yes, we do. 844-967-2789. Anytime you want to call or text from the 262. As a progressive, I think the Wisconsin GOP needs to continue down whatever path they are currently on.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Someone on the live stream also commented. They're like, Kelly for U.S. Senate 2024? It's like, why don't we put him up again?
Somebody like David Clark, the former Milwaukee County Sheriff, who has not ruled out running, if he gets into this thing. I mean, and that's the problem, is they've got, you know, they're stuck. They're candidates who want to pull them closer to normalcy and away from Trump. And they've got candidates who are, nope, we're Trump ride or die, and, you know, until the wheels fall off.
So then, how do Democrats continue to optimize on this divided party, on a party that doesn't have policy to run on, that is stuck with their base that they can't let go of, but consistently losing moderate or even historically Republican voters? Like, what do Democrats need to do to optimize and leverage the situation?
Well, you, first of all, you can't rest on your laurels. You got to continue to do the work and to provide the contrast. And so, for example, I'll just give two quick ones. This week, you saw Governor Tony Evers signing bipartisan legislation to address reckless driving mm-hmm. in Milwaukee. That's going to make it easier to get reckless drivers and their vehicles off the streets. In terms of nationally, while President Trump was getting arraigned yesterday. You had President Biden out talking about things like climate jobs and the Infrastructure and Jobs Act and getting people back to work, rebuilding our infrastructure and transforming the electricity grid. You got to do the work. You can't just say like, oh, well, the other side is going to, you know, continue
implode
to.
Right. So we can just.
You got to do the work. You got to show people you're serious about this. And that's just two examples. There are more of them continuing to do that.
Well, and I think that's what's interesting because it goes back to the question I had at the top of the hour. In Wisconsin, is this the beginning of the last chapter of us being a democracy desert? Which I use that word because that has been many times how The Guardian, New York Times, like we have been described as a democracy desert largely because of our gerrymandered maps and how we have not a minority rule, because even if we got fair maps, we're 50-50 state.
Still got to go win races.
Mm-hmm. But it's in the way that it is a supermajority, in the way that so many popular policies, there's been no movement on whatsoever. And is it overstating that this is the beginning of a new chapter?
It feels like it.
Feels like it's overstating it?
No, I'm sorry. I meant that it feels like we're at the next chapter. That's what I feel. I don't think it's overstating because I think there's too much excitement for it. You know, like with every win that the Democrats get in the past three election cycles, it just feels like it's building more and more momentum. And it's talking about what you were talking about. But I also think there's another component to it, is finding those qualified candidates to run in all elections, but also make big dream, shoot for the moon. Like say, yeah, we can't do it this time, but in two cycles, we want to take down Robin Voss. And we're going to find a candidate and we are going to get them from start to finish, get them the money they need. And you know,
the Voss toss.
Don't be picking on my favorite Chuckle Meister. That's just unkind.
I lay all respect towards the popcorn king, my friend. You know, that was one thing, like when I was working in Racine, that like the big problem was trying to find qualified candidates and just throwing these people out to the line saying, well, you're going to run against so-and-so, you're going to lose, but we need somebody. And you'll get 30% of the vote because 30% of the people hate this person. And it's like, well, why aren't we, you know, we can't win now, but let's say in 2 years, let's try to win. No, it's a loser. Cool deal. But now I feel like with these cycles happening, with these wins, dramatic, decisive wins, let's go for it.
With this kind of engagement, exactly. And like turnout in all. So, I mean, how many counties did Janet win outside of Milwaukee and Dane?
I don't have that. But
I don't have it off the top
of my head.
Somebody
did the math this morning. If you took away all of Janet's Dane County votes, let Kelly keep his, she still wins statewide.
Wow.
She won by 10 points in Western Wisconsin. She won Brown, Outagamie, and wow, the last statewide candidate supported by Democrats to do that was Tammy Baldwin, who also won by 10 points. I mean, this to the broader point, like you got to do the work, you got to get wins, you got to celebrate those wins. Mm-hmm. And the reason to do that is, for example, let's just take one cohort of voters, young people, the kids are all right. They're engaged, they're coming out and voting, and we are now developing a pattern where they see that their vote matters, they see that their power matters, and if you can get some wins and show them, like, hey, turning the direction of a state, much less a country, is a lot like turning an ocean liner. Happens slowly, but if you can demonstrate that it's happening, people would rather be with the winning team, and we now have a lot of 18 to 25-year-olds who have voted a couple times in the last 6 months. And they like that feeling. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be voting for the next 50 years.
Well, and I'll just end on this anecdote before we go to another break. But my 18-year-old cousin, who's a senior in high school.
Saw that. That's awesome.
In central Wisconsin. I texted him, early, I think Sunday or Monday, I said, are you going to vote? And he said, yeah. And then yesterday he sent me a picture of his sticker. And it was not only that he voted, but that he voted in a spring nonpartisan election.
Yep.
My first election was a presidential election. And so the fact that, like, because there is data that shows voting is a habit, and the sooner you start, and the sooner you start voting in every election, the more likely that habit is going to stick. And so the fact that, like, I feel like we might got a guy who from 18 will now vote in every election makes me very, very happy. And so let's talk a little bit more about voter turnout and what that means for our engaged civic awareness in Wisconsin and how we keep that momentum going when we come back. Our guests are Greg Bach and Joe Zepecki. You got Jane Matinere and Kristen Bry. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Is forward. And today I am proud that we are going to be able to live up to our motto.
Well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are joined today for at least another couple segments by Joe Zepecki, and for the whole show, like every Wednesday, Mr. Greg Bach.
Hello.
So let's talk about 1.8 million people in a non-presidential primary turnout for a spring nonpartisan election. Holy crap. And I...
Let's keep it clean, huh? Holy baloney.
Holy baloney.
Oplander would not abide by that language.
And I would say, you know, I reflected on this a little. I felt like pretty emotional yesterday. And not sad emotional or like nervous, but just I think I started getting texts and DMs from people I both know and people who just follow As Goes Wisconsin, of people saying, like, thank you. Like, had I not had some of your explainers for myself, I wouldn't have known how to vote on some of the referenda. I used your video to get this person to vote and this person to vote and this person to vote. And, like, it felt, and I think, and this is thousands of people, right? How many people, the millions of texts, the millions of calls, everyone who docked doors, like, so many people go into this. And I feel like in my bio, whenever I say, like, what defines the work that I do, it's, like, using humor, trying to explain things, to be digestible, and, like, getting people to give a damn. And I feel like even in the short time since I've been back in Wisconsin, like, I can feel there's more and more momentum of people, like, giving a damn. And not just every 4 years, but knowing that every election matters, even though we have a lot of elections. And, like, I'm emotional now. Like, I'm just excited about it. Like, beyond Janet's win, just the fact that this many people turned out, and yes, it's still not over 50%, like we see in the turnout we see in the fall, but like it's a really good step. And so it's like, what do we do beyond Democrat versus Republican, left versus right, to like continue to keep people engaged like this? That's an open question for anyone.
You're reminding me of a former president who has never been arraigned. Barack Obama said that in the unlikely story that is America, there has never been anything false about hope. And I think what we're seeing and feeling is the hope. And it is, as you said, the product of hard work and a lot of hours by a lot of people. You know, I've been doing this a while. And so I remember vividly how low we were after November of 2016, when we had lost Wisconsin out of the blue column for the first time in decades. And it has been a long, years-long road back. And the number of people who were part of, you know, lifting everybody up and dusting, you know, Democrats and operatives and donors off and saying, okay, we got to figure out better ways to do this. We have to embrace new technologies, new ideas. We have to, you know, be more forward-thinking. We have to embrace things like communications and new ways. And now to sort of look at the arc of these last 7 years and to see even things like civic media, like this was not a part of the ecosystem in 2016, to see people like you and the great stuff you've done at As Goes Wisconsin. Like it's, you know, a million little, you know, moments having an impact. And that's something people should feel proud about.
And I think it's really important, Joe, that you use the word hope, because I haven't experienced that emotion for so long. It took me like an hour and a half to identify it last time.
Jesus, I would really talk to someone then, Jane.
It's like, what am I feeling? Oh my gosh, I feel hopeful. It's
this
weird,
unencumbered joy, and I can't find a... What? Oh!
I think it was my better half who also in the boiler room last night said, this feels really good. Why don't we just do this all the time? Yeah, right. Like, why didn't we always do it this way?
Well, I guess, is it, you know, Ben Wickler tweeted out last night, and I thought this was, granted, he's very good at the Twitter as far as, you know, like, saying things that are inspiring and whatever. But he said, this isn't a prediction. It isn't a hint. It's just a note. And my note is, this election was a release valve for 12 years of Democratic rage in Wisconsin about Republicans rigging our state and smashing our democracy and then using that power to rip away our rights.
Oh, that's
I told
good.
You, he's good at tweeting. He's good at the Twitter,
yeah. Everybody.
But I feel like, is this just a moment and a reaction to feeling like there's been this, and it's not even just Republicans as a whole, it's just this group of people who have abused their power, or is this a growing momentum that people now get it?
I hope it's the latter.
I know, me too.
But you can't... I think if 2020 and 2022 would have been a misery and this was a shining moment, then yeah, maybe it's a moment. But we have conclusive evidence in front of us with the past three election cycles saying that people are changing their minds and they want something different. They want a new discourse and they just want to work towards what they believe America is, which is a place for all and a place where people can get along and discuss the topics that are needed to be discussed. And I think one of the most important things as far as doing the work is also looking at all the 1.8 million voters who voted, who are identifying who are the Republicans, who are the conservatives in there who didn't like Dan Kelly. Let's talk to them. What's on your mind? I'm not going to come at you as an enemy. I want to know what you're thinking and why didn't you want him? There's more about us together than apart. So let's do that. It's about identifying those voters and bringing them not over to us. I think that's too maniacal, but just saying, hey, for the next election, what do we agree on? Who can we vote for that can help us all? Because when you vote for someone who wants to help, they're going to help us all. So
there we go. All right. Any closing thoughts before we take a break for the top of the hour news? Any more talk on the text line?
I am just relieved that a vast majority of Wisconsinites, we can agree that gravity exists. I think this is a really, really valuable thing as a starting point. The majority of us agree that gravity exists.
I'm just glad we got Jane to feel hopeful again.
I know.
We're running like 12 hours of hope here.
It's like the Grinch and your heart grew three sizes last night.
I know. I'm not sure what's wrong with
me. See a doctor.
All right. Well, we still have some down ballot stuff that we haven't even touched on yet. So, Joseph Becker, you're going to stick around?
Yeah, I'll do one more.
We'll talk about the mayor's races.
About the one.
And the referenda, which I think the referenda... I have a lot of feelings on as far as is this the best way that we could be doing this? But regardless, people said yes. So stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin on post-election day bliss.
Still don't know what I was waiting for. And my time was running wild, a million dead-end streets, and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me, but I've never caught a glimpse of how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't wanna be a richer man.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
It's gonna have to be a different man.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.